take real estate as a shot or as a fully stocked cooler? This is the 5 o'clock somewhere real estate investor podcast. We're bringing common sense back to real estate investment. So crack open your beverage of choice, sit back and relax, and allow us to learn you a thing or two.
All right, this episode, we're going to actually go through our process as an investment team. We have a specific process that was developed by Glenn Green that we follow. It requires a lot of work ethic, a lot of time, but we do it for a purpose. And we're going to discuss that process and what we do for our investors when you first pick up the phone and call us.
We are sponsored by Title Assurance and Escrow, a title company here in Cordova that does all of our closings, title work, escrows, and we only use Title Assurance and Escrow. That relationship is very important because we can get things done for our investors quickly and easily. So to speak with Title Assurance and Escrow, call 901-737-3332. Ask for Chris or April.
All right, so this episode, we're going to talk about a process that we use. And I think this is the most important part of what we do. Let's face it, any monkey can go get a real estate license. You know, if you have half your brain cells, you can study and pass a test and get a license and go find a broker. It doesn't make you an investment agent. And I think there's a lot of agents out there that we're dealing with now that are beginning to realize that. The investment game is not easy. So we have a specific system, and this system was actually started by Glenn Green, our former partner. And passed away. Just so you know, that the chuckling of ice and the mumbling and in the background, that's Jeff. He's drinking his Johnny Walker on the rocks.
I'll get you one.
Glenn Green, when we started this, we had dealt with a lot of agents. And when him and I are here at the law firm doing short sales and negotiations, we dealt with a ton of agents and we learned something very quickly. Very few agents just give a shit. They just don't care. They got their license to make easy money, or they thought to make easy money. So Glenn always said that if we could find a way to take an investor from point A all the way down the alphabet to Z, and we can handle everything for them from start to finish, we'll build loyalty, we'll build friendships, we'll build relationships, and we'll build a good business.
And for Jeff, drinking buddies.
And drinking buddies, right, with Jeff. So the concept was is we would put together, that we would go the extra mile on everything we did for our investors. And a lot of agents said that was stupid. Why would you go through all that extra work? Well, we're sitting proof today as to why we're going through extra work, because while you're back shuffling papers at Smith & Nephew, and because you can't make any money in real estate because the market's down.
No, they're typically standing behind the counter at AutoZone.
AutoZone, yeah. We're doing business still, even though interest rates are up and the economy's not doing great. So that concept is pretty simple. When I talk to a new investor, this is what I tell them. My job is to be your boots on the ground, start to finish. And when you're done closing on the house, I'm still involved with the house. And I give them examples. So this is what I tell them. Number one, let's find out what you want to invest in. What's your goal? Are you investing now? How's that working out? Tell me about those investments. So what's your level of risk you're willing to do? And I hear everything under the sun to where almost no risk down to I don't care. If I can put a tenant in it, I'll buy it. So once I have that in place, then I just go through the system and let them know, okay, well, number one, I'm going to set you up a search and we're going to start researching properties that based on the criteria you've given me, and I'm going to send a list to you every single day. And every day at 5 o'clock, when you get home, on your email is going to be a list and you just start looking at it. What I want you to do from that point is if you see something that catches your eye, just shoot me a text. Hey, what do you think about this address? And in 10 minutes, I can look it up, check the location, pull up the rent comps and say, well, based on paper, it looks great. Based on the location, it looks good too. Let me go tomorrow and drive the neighborhood. So then I get my car, my truck, drive to the neighborhood, and I drive 4 or 5 blocks around this house, check out the neighborhood, check out the neighbors' homes. If I go down and see a ton of people sitting on their front porch at noon and cars in the yards and trash everywhere, I'm just going to tell them no, because that neighborhood is not going the right direction. If I go down a street and see a bunch of boarded up houses, but 3 or 4 are being remodeled, I'll tell them, yes, this street's going somewhere. Get in early. So once we accomplish and find that house, I'm going to recommend an offer to you and the terms. right? Because in an aggressive, competitive market, you got to know what you're doing. You can't just throw offers out there because you won't get any. So my job is then to guide them through the offer process and give them tidbits and advice on how to really make your offer strong, right?
What do you do? What would you recommend? Full price offer, contingent upon?
Absolutely.
An inspection?
Number one is going to be...
backtrack it. What does a full price offer do? Locks the property in, takes it off the market?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Step one is getting a contract accepted, right? I can write a million contracts a day, but why do I want to write a million contracts a day if none of them are going to be accepted? If an investor's selling a property and the agent gets 10 offers in, the first thing an agent's going to do is what I do. They're going to flip through them, price. They're going to organize them based on price, best to worst. If you lowball an offer or go in 10 grand and they're asking, guess where yours is going to be? On the bottom of the pile. And I guarantee you that investor is going to pick something else before you.
Well, you can feed on the seller's emotion. You give them a full price. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you offer $100,000 on a $100,000 asking price or $1 million on a $100,000 asking price. It's all going to boil down to the inspection. But I'm guessing if you present that full price offer, going to play on the seller's emotion.
You're going to float to the top of the
pile. And he's like, wow, man, I've got a guy. This guy's serious. He's willing to pay full price.
Well, but he may have four other full price offers.
Right.
So then I tell him, look, if you're not borrowing money, you're paying cash, that's even better. Instead of a 10-day inspection, let's do a 5-day. Agree to put the escrow money with his attorney. There's a lot of things you can do, and I walk them through those different scenarios as to why you want to do that. I get a lot of kickback with new investors. Well, I don't want to offer full price. And if I argue with them and they won't listen, what I do is I write 5 or 6 offers for them, let them go down the toilet. And they're like, we're not getting any offers accepted. It's because I told you. We're sending offers to somebody and yours is going to the bottom of the pile. You're not even getting looked at. So offer full price. Unless it's been on the market for 90 days, then you can pull the price down some. But if it's been on the market for 2 days, don't go in there and offer 10 grand under asking because you're not going to get that deal, period. It's not going to happen unless it's in the worst part of town where no one's going to want to buy that house but you. So offer full price asking, 10-day inspection contingency, because guess what? We'll go inspect the property. We'll get a contractor's bid on the rehab, and then we'll see if it still works. If you're all in at a certain price and you're still breaking 1%, done. If it doesn't, we go back to them and say, well, it needs more work than we anticipated, so we're going from full price. We're dropping 6 grand off the price. Some investors say, well, why would a seller do that? Well, I can tell you why. The same old rule. One bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, because he's going to think to himself, the seller's going to say, okay, well, this is going to come up with the next buyer. So if I tell these guys to go piss up a rope and go back to market, another 30 days, get another contract, and the same thing's going to happen again, I might as well try to work with these guys. So we wanted 6 off. He comes back and goes, I'll give you 4. Great, we'll take it. And then we move on. Get the contract bound. We handle setting up the inspection. We handle setting up a contractor to go get bids on the work while we're there doing inspection. We set up the termite. We physically go to the inspection. Jeff and I have all been, Jerry, we've all been to the inspections. If there's a tenant in place, I want to go meet the tenant. I give my investor a honest opinion of the tenant. I met the family. They got 2 small kids. They're a great family, blah, blah, blah. Then we go through the process of getting all that done. I'll renegotiate it. I've already set your contract up with a title company. I'm working with the title company to make sure all the title's getting pulled. If there's any liens, trying to help them, you know, navigate that part and get it set up for closing. And then when we go to close, we're going to email you a package and you're going to print it off, sign it in front of a notary, and FedEx it back to us. Congratulations. You just bought your first rental property. Now, most agents at that point wouldn't do half of what I just said. They won't. I've had agents for their buyer's inspection. I've had inspectors call me saying, the agent said she's not coming. Can you come let me in the house? And it pisses me off because that's your job. You're supposed to be there. But from that point forward, we close it and most agents are done. That's it. Congratulations, Jeff. You know, good luck with your house. Hope things work out for you. If you need something else, let me know.
So what do? You get them set up with the management company.
Yes.
Follow through. A lot of your out-of-town investors. I may be getting ahead of you, but I'm guessing.
No, you're right on to the next step.
I'm guessing an out-of-town investor, if that investor requested be a liaison between him and the management company, let's say he gets a huge invoice for something.
Yeah, I'm about to go through all of that.
Just before we go on, based on what you've said this far to getting that FedEx package back where someone out of town has signed it in front of a notary, they've bought the house, What period of time are we talking about? How quickly or how long might that take?
If I found you a house tomorrow, we'll have it negotiated in 2 or 3 days and be on our way to close. And from that point forward, it's up to your lender. You're paying cash, we can close in 2 weeks. If you're getting a lender,
typical closing's probably 2 weeks.
Yeah. So now that you've got the house, and before you close, we're going to do the next step. We're going to start the next step, and that is management. Most agents don't even want to mess with management. They don't like it. I don't like management. I would never be a property manager. I hate that job. But here's where some agents completely lose sight of what the business that we're in. If you want to be in the investment game, your stockbroker wants to make sure your investments are performing, right? Well, how does he do that? By staying involved. So when we close, the next step is we help you find the proper management company. We got 4 or 5 we work with, and it's going to depend on the market you're in, the type of tenants you have. Is it MHA? Is it self-pay? And then we're going to recommend property managers to you that fit the bill for those type of properties. So then once we get the management set up, I'm still not done. I mean, my investor at that point hopefully trusts me and knows that I'm his eyes and ears here. And we've had this a couple of times recently. Tenant vacates, management company just sends a bid to the investor for $6,000 rent turn. And they call me and I look at the bid and I'm like, you know what? I don't know if this is valid or not. I'll go drive to the house for my investor and walk the house with the list and check everything. And I'll be like, nope, 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 not necessary, not necessary. Yep, that needs to be done. That needs to be done. I send it back to him.
Keep in mind, you're doing all of this as a courtesy to your investor. You're not getting paid to do this. You're just doing it as a courtesy.
But there's a method to my madness, and I'm going to talk about that in a second.
That's that. Relationship building.
That's your relationship with him. He's going to buy 40 more from you.
Mr. Tiny, I'm out of Japan. Uses me for that all the time, and I gladly do it. And I've saved him thousands and thousands of dollars. And the management companies get mad at me because I'm taking money out of their pocket. But listen, my job is not to babysit the management company. I'm not loyal to you. I'm loyal to my investor. My job's to make sure his asset's performing the way we anticipate it. And if there's a problem, I'm going to defend him. And that's where I get involved. So then I'll go through that process and I'll give it back to the investor, and the investor will send the management company saying, hey, I had Brett walk the house and he says these things aren't necessary. They don't argue with me because they know. I personally believe that management company sends a vendor out and the vendor just creates work for himself. He finds stuff that he says needs to be done. I've gone in a house where they said it needed all new ceiling fans. Not a single, every ceiling fan was less than a year old. He just created work for himself.
Well, you just have to be careful with the management company you get with, because these management companies are notorious for not,
well, it's not the
checking their
right.
vendors'
It's not
work.
The management company padding the,
no,
the bid.
No.
It's the management company not paying attention to what their vendors are bidding and making sure that what they're bidding is accurate.
For the fees they charge, they need to send somebody out and inspect.
Common sense would tell you that, but you know, in reality, it doesn't happen.
Every management company needs to send an qualified person out in-house. This is what needs to be done, and then that person can go call the vendors and say, this is what I need done, do it.
There is one management company we work with out in Arlington, Enterprise Realtors. They have a management division, and in my opinion, they do it right. They have an on-staff estimator. When a house goes vacant,
that's what you need.
He heads to the house, he takes the pictures, he writes the estimate up and says, this is what it should cost, and then he sends it to his vendors and says, here's how much we're paying, who wants the job?
That's the difference.
Big
the
difference.
Management company is dictating what needs to be done, not the outside vendors that are never supervised.
And I think that adds a lot to their – that's why they've grown so fast in the management side, because that's a good way to approach it, because that's what I'm doing at this point. I'm not doing the estimating. I'm just going in saying, no, that doesn't need to be done. That doesn't need to be done. That doesn't need to be done. And they're reworking the bid and saving my investor money.
You should get a part-time job as a management at a management company.
Hell to
being
the no.
their estimate.
I would rather go sit an eternity of seminars, real estate seminars, than ever do that.
I don't believe that.
So, all right. So that now we're to the point now where my investor has a solid performing asset that is paying cash flow, that he knows he can call me anytime he needs to. I have investors. Michael Gibson said he'd call me at 2 o'clock in the morning one time, stressed out. It's a very true story. He woke me up, and I got up and answered the phone and talked to him. And he goes, and thank God for Brett. I was able to sleep that night. I didn't do anything but just talk to him. But I'm available. That's the key, is most agents aren't available. 5 o'clock on a Friday, the phone's off. They didn't come back on until 8 a.m., if even that, on a Monday morning.
I actually remember Mike Gibson telling me that you whispered sweet nothings to him.
Yeah,
and that helped
I
him
had,
sleep.
I had to really bring him off the ledge, and it took that. It took some weird shit to get him down. But yeah,
I like the agents. That's voice. They never answer the phone. You get their voicemail. It says I am available to take your call between 9 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Right.
By appointment only after 5 and on the weekends. Boy, that must be one important agent.
You know what happens when my phone rings? I answer it.
That's what I do.
Sometimes it irritates my wife because we're sitting outside grilling at 6 o'clock and I got stuff on the grill and we're talking, having a drink, and all of a sudden my phone rings or my phone, somebody texts
me.
Yeah,
well, she's pretty patient with you. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, your nickname is Revenue Stream. So
right.
She
got on to me one time. I said, baby, I said, my job pays for those nails, that hair, that Jeep, the boat, all the things we have. This is my job. Now, I'm on 7 days a week. I don't work 7 days a week. Like last week, we went down and worked on my boat for 3 days, and my phone barely rang.
4 days were on the lake, baby.
That's right.
That was like a mini vacation.
And you got yourself one of them damn foreigners, didn't you?
I did. I got a foreigner. I do. But anyway, that's our process. And two very leveled agents, leveled up with where I'm at in volume. One of them said to me, why would you do that? It's very simple. If I make sure this one, first one performs, then he's going to buy number two, then he's going to buy number three and number four and number five. And I can tell you my investors, Donald Trump himself could call my investors and say, I've got a deal for you. And he's like, they'll say, run it through Brett. Daniel Tabish, I can call him and say, Daniel, buy this house. Okay. Doesn't even question me. That's why I do it, because it does. It builds relationships. It builds trust. And once they know they have someone on the ground that cares about their asset and their investment the same way they do, no one's going to take that investor from me. My investors now buy, every one of them buy at least one house a year, some buy three or four a year. Well, once you get 50, 60 investors doing it every year, year in, year out, then you've got a steady flow of income, and it's only going to grow from there. So our process, Glenn was so committed to it, and I'm very committed to it, and we're committed to it for that purpose. That if you want to build a business, successful real estate business in the investment world with investors, you've got to put forth the effort. And most agents just don't want to put in the work.
Don't forget to mention, for our non-cash buyers, we walk them through the lending process too. I mean, we do everything.
Yeah.
We have relationships with contractors, vendors, inspectors, management companies, lenders. I mean, we're, like Brett says, your one-stop shop. We follow it through to the end and carry you beyond.
I've sent a number, Jeff's sent a number, Jerry, we've sent a number of investors to different lenders we have. We are in the process of becoming loan originator assistant, where we will be able to actually do more of the loan origination process for you. So we're just going to add that one tool to our complete mix of services that we provide. Is it easy? No. But does it pay off? Absolutely, it pays off. I mean, I would put our system up against any other agent in this town or in this country. And when they say that I'm wasting my time doing this stuff, no, I disagree with that. I think Glenn and I were ultra successful in a very short period of time because of the way our system works, because of the process we put together. Now, I do sometimes get a little irritated and lazy, and then I'll snap myself out of it because I try to stay focused on what got us where we are. I'm never going to deviate from that process because it is the lifeblood of our business.
Well, it's like you said, it's not rocket science. All it's required is a little bit of a work ethic.
That's it. I say all the time, I'll be glad to go to open up a seminar. Everybody can give me $2,000 a head to come in there. My seminar will be literally 30 seconds long. I'll walk out with a mic, say, work ethic, and drop my mic.
That's it.
Boom. Everybody, if you just follow that one simple rule, you'll make a lot of money in real estate.
And you know, what you do is rewarding. You're helping a lot of people create a lot of long-term retirement wealth. I mean, you know, it's rewarding. We're going out into these communities. We're cleaning them up. We're lowering the crime rate. We're building houses. We're rehabbing houses with our team. I mean, this is rewarding work.
Sure.
We're helping a lot of people that otherwise couldn't afford decent housing, safe housing. We're putting them in that. I mean, everything we do, it's just rewarding.
That's it.
Well, one thing I've noticed as well, everybody that you choose to bring into the circle to work with share your work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they go about things in the same way. There's a lot they give away for free.
Yeah.
Just to build that relationship and keep everybody on board.
Nick's very first investor came off the podcast. And he just now sold his first house 4 or 5 months later. But he would go to her houses that were being rehabbed. he called me one day after the first house and said, man, this contractor's doing a horrible job. I mean, what? I don't know what to say to her. I said, Nick, just be honest with her. Send her pictures and just be bluntly honest with her. And one or two things are going to happen. She's going to think you're a jackass and she's not going to call you again. Or she's going to gravitate towards you and start to trust you. And he did. He was brutally honest with her. I saw the email and it was pretty brutal. But now she doesn't even buy a home from a wholesaler without sending it to Nick first. It has Nick go walk it. And when that contractor's working on it, she has Nick go every other week and check on the house and check the quality of work.
But to Richard's, before she writes a check. But to Richard's point, he has spent countless days and hours mm-hmm. with her. He has stayed awake at night trying to figure out how to help this woman. He stuck with her. Nobody would have done that. They would have just walked away from him. But he stuck with her for months. And now she's going to build a portfolio with him and probably end up with 30 or 40 rental properties.
That's it.
He's going to benefit from it. She's going to benefit from it. Her tenants are going to benefit from it. All the hundreds of jobs that are created with all the inspectors and contractors are going to benefit from it. I'm telling you, this is a win-win for everybody.
I've reaped the benefits of that system. Glenn did. Nick is. Jeff is. The concept is not hard.
It's a win-win.
It comes down to work ethic. That's it. Bottom line. And Nick's got it. Yeah, and so this investor, he just wrote a contract on her first house. Got a buyer for it, and he's about to make some money on that house. She's got three other ones lined up for him. But what I found interesting was I follow the emails. I don't chime in if I don't have to. I try not to. I try to let Nick handle it. But as I follow the emails, I could tell she was beginning to trust him for everything, right? Now, wholesaler sends her a list of properties. She'll pick two or three out and send them to Nick first before she even makes an offer.
I wish you'd start chiming in on some of my emails. I get emails and I'm like, golly, I don't even know how to respond to that. I wish Brett would chime in on this right now.
I try to stay out of the conversation unless I'm needed. Unless I feel like I can contribute something more than what's being had, because it's important. I think it's important for Jeff, Jerry, Nick to communicate their own words. If I see something in an email that I'm not quite sure of, I'll jump in and kind of smooth it out. But so far, everybody's doing a good job. You know, I personally believe, and I'm not just saying this because it's us, I think we have the best system in Tennessee. Our investors are loyal to us. They're not fickle. They trust us. So pick up the phone and call us or go to our website, MyMemphisInvestmentProperties.com. Check out what we got. Also register so you can get notified when we have a new podcast episode out. 901-692-7401 and talk to one of us. Thanks for listening.
For more common sense real estate tips, listen and subscribe at 5oclocksomewherepodcast.com. The 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Investor Podcast is a Sound Ideas Group production.